Our Bible message today, the scripture comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, and I'll be reading from the Inclusive Bible. And it says, "There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment, and anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. And if you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you're a liar, for you can't love God whom you've not seen if you hate your neighbor who you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. We have this commandment from God." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My message today is entitled "Black Lives Matter, the Fierce Urgency of Now." The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. If you don't know already, it won't surprise you, I believe, to find out that that quote is from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it actually comes from sort of early on in his "I Have a Dream" speech at the March on Washington. It was a prophetic message for our nation, the anniversary of which we actually just remembered this past Friday. And most of us are almost certainly familiar with many of the powerful and inspiring lines from the speech. Things like, "I have a dream that one day in this nation we will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." And also, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today." Well, today, however, I'd like to share with you some of the, well, kind of less frequently quoted parts from Dr. King. In that speech, Dr. King said, "In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American will fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice, the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in this great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice." And he concludes this section saying, "We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind Americans of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promise of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valleys of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. Now, I need you to know that I have an issue. I have an issue with Dr. King's speech. It's an issue that far too people talk about. An issue that should bring with it the sting of our cursed reality. An issue that shakes me to my core, and it should shake you to yours as well. My issue is the date. More precisely, it is the date on which that prophetic message from Dr. King was given, August 28, 1963. Did you just hear the words from Dr. King that I read? Do they seem any less true to you today than when he said them? They certainly do not to me. My problem is the date, August 28, 1963. Folks, I'm a few years past the half century mark, and I wasn't even a twinkle in my father's eye when that speech was given. That's my problem. As a nation, we've managed to give ear service. We've managed to give lip service to the plight of the oppression of black people in America. But I am here today to pass judgment on the United States for doing little more than attempting to placate people of color. I don't want to hear about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, about the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I don't want to hear about affirmative action or the Equal Opportunity Act. I want to hear about why it is still somehow okay to shoot a black man, Jacob Blake, in the back 7 times. As children watch from the back of the car. I want to hear about how it is still somehow okay that a black man, Marcus Smith, was hogtied by the police. Yes, I said it. Hogtied. Hogtied and killed right here in my town, Greensboro, North Carolina, just blocks away from where the Woolworth sit-in launched a civil rights movement across the nation. The reality is, I never knew these men personally, nor have I actually personally known any person of color who's been shot by the police or by white vigilantes. I do go downtown across from the police station here in Greensboro every Monday to demand justice for Marcus Smith and his family. And I do go to every Black Lives Matter rally in town to demand justice for families of color across the nation. But let me just be frank with you. What I really want to hear is that I should have no fear that my unofficially adopted brother, we sort of adopted each other, I want to hear that he should have no fear that as he travels this nation weekly, no fear that he'll be gunned down by police simply because of the color of his skin. I want to hear it not just for him, but I want to hear it for every person of color. I want to hear more than just lip service, because where has lip service gotten us in the past half century? Do Dr. King's words ring any less true today? I want systemic change. I do not want my brother's name or any other name to be added to the list of Rayshard Brooks, Priscilla Slater, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and so many other people of color that have been killed by police, and those lists that I just gave are from this year alone. Dr. King was right. He was right then, and he's right now. We must remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism like we have so much in the past half century or more. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood and sisterhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. See, as Holocaust survivor and Nobel laureate Eli Wiesel once reminded us, we must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere. When human lives are endangered, when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Wherever men and women are persecuted because of their race, religion, political views, that must, at that moment, become the center of the universe. Dr. King had a dream. And we must not only continue to dream that dream, but we must also put in the difficult work that is required to make it a reality. We must recognize the fierce urgency of now, of action now, of protesting now, of demanding systemic change now, of equality now. Of no longer being tranquilized by the drug of gradualism. You see, as actor Jesse Williams, the 2016 winner of BET's Humanitarian Award, said in its acceptance speech, freedom. Freedom is always coming in the hereafter. But you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. Speaking of now, this is a good point a good preacher would at this point have, having brought you along thus far, would give you a list of what you, yes, you can do to join the movement and help usher in the systemic change that's necessary to end the horrendous and horrifying deaths of people of color at the hands of police, not to mention ending the myriad of other ways the system is designed to keep people of color down. Well, like I said, that's what a good preacher would do. But I've never claimed to be a good preacher. So instead of going through a list full of things that, let's be honest, you already basically know you should be doing, and you should still be doing those things. Instead of that, I am going to give you one word. Check. Check. It's not the bad check that Dr. King said people of color had been given by America, but it is two ways to begin to ensure that the American Bank of Justice will no longer have insufficient funds. First, the first of the two checks is the check mark that you make when you vote. I'm serious, vote. Because if you say Black Lives Matter, but you don't show up to vote, I simply do not believe that Black Lives Matter actually matters to you. Now, will you be voting for all the change that's necessary and all the change that is needed? No. I mean, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that that's the case. But what I will stand here and tell you is that I firmly believe to the core of who I am that if we have four more years like the past 4 years, Dr. King's dream for this great nation will remain a dream as we all live into the racist nightmare that we are already seeing white supremacists unfurl on our country. And then the second of the two checks is to check yourself daily. No one seems to know where the quote that I'm about to share came from, but it actually reminds me quite a bit of the teachings of historian, anti-racism expert, and best-selling author, Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. It's a reminder of the check that we each must do every day. It says this: no matter how open-minded, socially conscious, anti-racist I think I am, I still have old, learned, hidden biases that I need to examine. It is my responsibility to check myself daily for my stereotypes, prejudices, and ultimately discrimination. So, remember your checks. Hey, post check marks on sticky notes on your bathroom mirrors, refrigerator, the back of your front door, your car dash, any place that you'll see it daily. And be reminded of your checks. I'm going to conclude this message here by actually sharing most of Jesse Williams' acceptance speech when he accepted BET's Humanitarian Award in 2016. It's powerful. And as it turns out, frequently, the truth can be hard to hear.
This is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. All right? It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the black women in particular who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can, but we'll do better for you. Now, what we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function in ours. Now, I got more, y'all. Yesterday, Ben Young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich. tell Rakia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt. Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money, that alone isn't going to stop this. All right? Now, dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our body. There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now, freedom is always coming in the hereafter. But, you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. And let's get a couple things straight. Just a little side note. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. All right, stop with all that. If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo, and we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Amen. Let's take a moment and turn ourselves to a time of gathering and prayer. I've actually adapted a couple of prayers that I found on socialjusticeresourcescenter.org. Some wording that just fits better my theology, and some just to make it fit together a little bit better. Accept this as prayer, as a moment of meditation, some sort of almost lecto divino. We allow the words to fall across you and pick the ones that pull on your spirit. Let's pray. Loving and creating spirit, in our efforts to dismantle racism, we understand that we struggle not merely against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Those institutions and systems that keep racism alive by perpetuating the lie that some members of the family are inferior and others superior. May we gain new mind and heart that will enable us to see brothers and sisters in the faces of those divided by racial categories. May we have the grace and strength to rid ourselves of racial stereotypes that oppress some of us while providing entitlements to others. Help us to create a church and a nation that embraces the hopes and fears of oppressed people of color where we live, as well as those around the world. Just as Jesus reached across the ethnic boundaries between Samaritans and Romans and Jews and offered fresh sight to the blind and freedom to the captives, may we too break down the barriers in our community. May we see the reality of racism and bigotry that we might change and uproot it from ourselves, our society, and our world. Amen.